Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. And to remind you, the White Sox will take on the Giants. That's a 12:30 pregame and a 1:10 first pitch right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Glad that you're with us here. And don't forget, if you miss any of our show, hey, we know that you're busy. If you get a chance to check out our podcast, you should. Cap and Jay Hood podcast available on the ESPN Chicago app. Just click it, and then you get all 3 hours and more right there on the Cap and Jay Hood podcast feed. Cap, a little on the Bears I want to ask you about regarding a piece that's written in the athletic.com, and is they were able to review all the teams in the NFL, and secretly, without putting a name on it, front office people, general managers were able to weigh in on what every team did. Just random names. It's anonymous, but people just give their reaction to what other teams have done in the National Football League, all of them, including the Bears. So there's a quote here I want to be able to point out to you, several of them. One executive says the Bears are interesting because people are like, do they really have to go all in on off-ball linebackers? But in Matt Eberflus's system, those guys are pretty critical. The good thing is they have a plan. They have a ton of money. And here's one of the key quotes. There wasn't a top-heavy free agency class with a lot of big-money guys that you're dying to get. Adding DJ Moore is better than any receiver that you're going to get in free agency. That's one quote. Then the other one regarding wide receivers I want to point out to you, and that is the Bears must feel good about addressing their offensive and defensive lines in the draft. Chicago holds a 9th pick, plus extra picks in the 2nd, 4th, 5th, and 7th rounds. Here's the quote. An anonymous executive says, if I'm a Bears fan, I'm still really pissed that we lost the 32nd pick in the draft for Chase Claypool, referencing the trade Chicago made with Pittsburgh during last season. How bad does that move look now that you had to include DJ Moore in the number one pick trade? And so when I read that yesterday, I was thinking, well, I'm not pissed. I'm not pissed because I don't know what Claypool is going to do with the Bears, but I'm not going to stamp it bust yet. Again, last year, all of this was by design. You and I agree that all of this was by design. This is why we're here today talking about, DJ Moore and what the Bears did. They got a haul from Carolina. But I'm not mad about the Claypool deal until we see him either achieve or underachieve with the Bears when the team is getting better.
You will be if you see some player go 32nd in the draft and think, oh my goodness, if we had a pick, 32, 33, 30, somebody that would have been on the board, you'll be ticked if he becomes a star.
I got to wait 3 years on that, don't I?
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe the guy's the rookie of the year. We don't know. I think what is going to be disappointing to find out is if Ryan Poles had truth serum given to him, he'll never admit this, if he knew he was getting DJ Moore in a deal, if he knew he was going to get the number one pick, he didn't know that when he made the trade for Chase Claypool, would you still have acquired Claypool? And the answer is most probably no.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to have number 32 back.
Now, let's review this. So at the time of the deal of Claypool coming to the Bears, I know my reaction. My reaction is, if you're trying to tank, why are you trying to add a little bit more seasoning to what you already have?
Because he thought he would have very little in free agency, Juju Smith-Schuster and a few guys. Nothing great like that executive in the article you just referenced said. And he did not know he was going to pick number one. He did not.
He did not, but I just would say, if you bring Claypool in, and yes, you want to be ahead of the curve saying, well, look at this free agency list. This is not interesting. Let's try to get Claypool in here. You know, thank goodness Claypool did not ball out and would have knocked you out of position because I think he's a good wide receiver. I don't know what he's going to be in the system, though. Imagine if Claypool would have balled out. If Fields and Claypool established a rapport. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
You're a 4-win team, maybe knocked out of the position to get the number one pick. Maybe a 5-win team.
Like if you had gotten him for pick 63, is that where they're at?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 63. If you had gotten him for your other, the Baltimore 2nd-round pick for the Roquan deal?
Yeah.
Okay, we're picking at 9 and 32. I don't think anybody would be as disappointed to lose the 32nd overall pick, basically the last first-round pick because Miami had their pick taken away. I think that there are people, rightly so, going, we could have got a hell of a football player there.
Well, all of this is conjecture and what ifs for me. because I think we'll know sooner than the 32nd pick whether or not Claypool can be a guy for this team or not.
Maybe.
It's a draft pick. Like, I mean, unless that draft pick is just out of nowhere from the beginning, from the jump, becomes this outstanding player, I think we'll know more about Claypool more so than the 32nd pick. Here's the thing about me as a sports fan. I never miss something I don't see. That's just how I've always been that way.
Correct.
When people tell me, God, Hoodie, I get this all the time. Boy, if we only had Lonzo Ball. What do you mean? Well, if we had Lonzo Ball, we'd be such a better basketball team. Well, hang on a second. First of all, no, you wouldn't, as far as a much better basketball team, because, again, you still are not Milwaukee. You're not Philly.
You don't shoot the ball well enough.
Well, you're not one of the top teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I don't – and people say, but what about Lonzo Ball? What about him? Haven't seen him in a long time, so I don't miss him being on the team. When he's healthy, then here we go. I guess there's a little coach in me in that regard. I think you might feel that way sometimes, too. It's like, hey, Johnny's not playing. Well, okay, well, we got to move the drill. We can't just stand still. He's not playing.
Correct.
Injury or ineptitude or issues in the classroom. We got to move on. Next. I mean, that's kind of how I feel.
Next man up.
Same thing with this 32nd pick for me. If the Bears have Claypool and Claypool underachieves and the 32nd pick play, you know what, Cap, there's nothing I can do about it as a fan. Is that 32nd pick the difference between getting to the Super Bowl or not? I would say no. It's more than just one guy. It's the NFL after all.
Correct.
So for me, with the 32nd pick, hey, you got Claypool because you want to get your offense better. You saw the free agency list for wide receivers and you said, let's just get Claypool in here for our future. Fine. Hope it works out. That's all I can say. I hope it works out.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because if he's really good and you want to extend him and you have DJ Moore and you have Darnell Mooney, that's a pretty good wide receiver room. Not the best, but good.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is there a chance they trade Darnell Mooney?
Mm.
If he wants $15 to $18 to $20 million as a top wide receiver, you can't pay him that.
He can go then. Because I hate to be the guy that just puts a stamp on who's worth what. But again, I look at it on a production standpoint. It's a production thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about this before, the notion that when you look at Darnell Mooney and his skill set and put him with really good teams in the NFL, where's Darnell Mooney? Second receiver? Third receiver at best? Second receiver? Not a one on good teams.
Oh, not a one on any good team.
Yeah. So if he's looking for $20 million, like, God bless him, it just won't be here.
Right. Like, if he said, yeah, let's, you know, $8 million, let's go. $18 million a year? Not so much.
If that's what and you know me and this whole thing is like, I like Darnell Mooney. I just think that when the team is good, there's going to be so many players that's not going to be on this roster. And the hope is that this will be a much more potent offense when the team is good.
So that is a big question, what you do that. Now, if they draft Jackson Smith and Jigba at 9,
mm-hmm.
There's no way they're extending Darnell Mooney then.
That's correct.
You can't have that much money tied up in all those receivers.
That's correct. So we're going to go move north with, and we'll see what happens in the draft. But as we stand here today, DJ Moore, Mooney, Claypool, Komet. Okay. I can go with that. Again, it all depends on what we're doing with the offensive line. But as far as weapons is concerned, the reason why this looks way better than last year, because last year it was in the cards. It was designed for Fields to take a beating. It was designed for Fields to learn on the job. And he did. And he got injured.
Let me ask you a question. Shay, who had a better offseason to date, Carolina or the Bears?
The Bears. I don't know. Carolina, I don't know what they're doing. The Bears have less moves that make me scratch my head. Carolina getting Thielen on a multi-year deal. Carolina getting Miles Sanders, who can't run through contact, on a multi-year deal. A second contract to a running back. One, the Eagles, a team that scouts talent very well, did not value in their playoff run. He got schemed out for Kenneth Gainwell. They've got multiple deals where I'm like scratching my head. Are they trying to win next year with a rookie quarterback?
No.
Or are they trying to rebuild? What are they doing? Those two contracts make no sense. I'd say the Bears.
The executive in this article that you sent us,
mm-hmm.
These teams like Carolina that have been stuck in the wilderness, you applaud them for being aggressive and going to make a move, the exec said. DJ Moore's better than Adam Thielen, but at least they went out and got guys. Sanders got a little more money than I expected. You never felt he was the straw that stirred Philly's drink, but you could see Carolina has a plan.
There is a plan.
And they're picking at number one.
Just like the Bears. Same way, they also have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that for Carolina, your shelf life of trying to rebuild should be short because you're in the NFC South.
Yeah.
Buccaneers going backwards, Saints trying to find themselves. Atlanta will be bad this upcoming season. So if you're Carolina in a division that can be got in the NFC South, you want to turn it around quickly. But again, like everything else, all of our conversations about the NFL all circle back to the quarterback. Who's the quarterback? What's your offense look like?
Correct.
You know, what's your makeup? Who are you?
Like, if Carolina drafts whoever at the top, C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, whoever it is, and that person gets to a second contract, so they've got him for 8, 9, 10 years, the price they paid is irrelevant.
It's, for me, for Claypool, it's what if. And we have to see what this upcoming season brings when it comes to Claypool. As we talk about this here on Cap and Jay Hood, Matt is on the north side on ESPN 1000.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
What's up?
So the problem with the Claypool trade is this. For me, it's about the evaluation of the player. In other words, if you had given up the later of the seconds and rolled the dice, all right, I could live with that even if it's a bust. The problem is I watch a lot of Notre Dame football, and the guy's not very good. Like, he didn't get separation, doesn't have great hands, doesn't win contested balls, doesn't have, like, a fire in his belly. And you watched it in Notre Dame, you watched it in Pittsburgh. That's my bigger concern. It's not that they gave up the second. It's that you watched enough of this guy, and I have. I don't think he's very good. So my bigger concern is you gave up a really, really, really high draft pick.
You did.
When you need a lot of people on the line on both sides for a guy that didn't show out in college, didn't show out in Pittsburgh, and then you're walking back all the excuses. Well, you didn't have a quarterback. You didn't have this. You didn't have that. Well, at some point, you got to play.
Yeah.
I don't think you can play.
That's a valid,
that's my concern.
And as Hoodie first said to me the day after that trade, we came in to do the show. He's like, I said, what do you think? They went and got Claypool. Big, strong, physical, tough, fast. When Mike Tomlin says you're out, that's concerning.
Yes.
He doesn't make a lot of personnel mistakes.
That is a concern, Cap. It is a concern. But again, the Bears don't have that pick.
They don't. It's gone.
Nothing I can do about it. Now,
can't change it.
Now the pressure's on Claypool to perform.
I just think if he had known he was getting DJ Moore in a deal, he would never have made that trade.
Fair to say. A rival executive says that you should be mad about the Claypool trade. Are you? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Also still to come, there was a player in Major League Baseball that put his hands on a fan. And there's repercussions. We'll talk about that as well as we move forward here on Cap and Jay Hood. Weekday mornings at 7.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
You're listening to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Glad to have you with us. We were talking about a piece from theathletic.com regarding a executive. And Cap, they just won't put their name on it. It probably is like a current executive. But Mike Sando, who I believe is the one who wrote this, Mike Sando's great in The Athletic. You know, my favorite articles is like the tiers list. The top tiers, the top quarterbacks, and I love that.
Every August, September, we get that. It's awesome.
Cap, I just sit there with a Winston cigarette and a nice scotch, and I sit down, and I'm just reading that.
You don't smoke Winstons.
All right, Paul Mall. I sit there, wow. and I peruse that column, look it over, find out where the Bears are. It's so great. And it's the same place, though, in The Athletic talks about this general manager or this front office person says that if I'm a Bears fan, I'm really pissed that we lost the 32nd pick in the draft for Chase Claypool. How bad does that move look now that you had to include DJ Moore with the number one pick? Hey, man, it's the price of poker. You want to get better at the wide receiver spot. Poles didn't know he'd be able to get DJ Moore in a trade.
He did not.
Didn't know.
There are some people who believed at the time, I'm not saying it was me, but there are some out there, just keep losing. Your team's not going to the playoffs. What are you doing giving up draft capital a high second round pick for a guy who doesn't really move the needle in Pittsburgh.
I get it.
So
I get it. But you know how you guys are. You front office executives and you coaches, we'll fix them. Bring them in. We'll fix them.
Right.
Because if it's not the Bears, it's the Patriots.
Correct.
Something like that, right? Some reclamation project, like a Chase Claypool.
Right.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. Let's go to the phone lines to talk to you, Brian and Kenosha, on ESPN 1000. Hello, Brian.
Oh, what's up, buddies?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. My take on this is, you know, we talk so much about Fields and giving him kind of some benefit of the doubt with the offense being so poorly constructed, and we saw flashes. I feel like Claypool has brought some sort of tangible record to his time in the NFL, and coming in as a wide receiver, that's a hard position to adjust to just transition-wise in general, and then coming into a hot garbage offense like the Bears have. Can't we give Claypool some leniency, so to speak, like we do Fields?
That's a good question, right?
It's a good question.
A young wide receiver in Claypool, a young Fields, do you give Claypool some time? I do. A better team?
Well,
sure.
As you put it, and thanks for the call, Brian, you said there's nothing we could do about it now. The trade's already made. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we can't react and say, boy, I wouldn't do that trade again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I understand his point. We acquired a guy who was let go in Pittsburgh. Justin's our own. We drafted him.
That's fair. I'm finding myself, by the way, Cap.
Yeah, I didn't know what you did. You handed me a 5. I gave you 4 singles back, and this cup is overflowing. This Good Karma Brands mug,
yeah,
overflowing for BerniesBookBank.org.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time saying Chase Claypool this morning, so and maybe some money will get me to say the name properly. I'm reading him as Clay Chasepool.
Wow.
So I'm having a hard time this morning with
you
that.
You know about the pie in the face thing on the afternoon show?
Yeah.
I was never so nervous doing the show with Waddle.
Yeah,
I was in for spring trading.
Yeah.
And they have a deal that if you call Ryan Poles, the old GM's name.
Yeah.
Not if you're referring to the previous regime. If you happen to call the GM the wrong name, you get a whipped cream pie in the face.
I've seen this on Twitch.
Yes.
It's pretty funny.
Yes. The Waddle and Sylvie show. So.
So because I'm having a hard time pronouncing Chase Claypool's name. That's a dollar to BerniesBookBank.org.
There you go.
Horrible.
Best charity in the world.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. John and Hobart is on ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay Hood. Hi, John.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. So the last guy kind of stole what I was going to say a little bit. Cap, I don't agree with you often, but I do think it's a really good point about Tomlin. It is a bit of a concern that he was willing to let go of him, but I do think we need to give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit. I think he could beat out Mooney for a number two spot. I do, but I have been disappointed with him. I'm just going to say one more thing, and then I'll hang up. I think when it's said and done, I think Poles made up for that trade already, and I think when his career is cemented in Chicago, I think we won't even be remembering that trade. I'd like to know what you guys think about that, and I just want to shout out to my friends Kevin Potchin and Rich Caduti. I'll hang up. Thanks, guys.
All right. Kevin and Rich, there you go. There's your shout out.
Rich Caduti.
How about that name? Kevin Potchkin. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
Remember Theo said on the air, if you're really, really good at your job as an executive, you're going to hit on like 59% of all the moves you make.
Mm-hmm.
Above average, but he said if you think you're going to hit 80%, 90% of your moves, wrong. So he may be right. When we go back and look at Ryan Poles' career, and that's 20 years from now,
mm-hmm,
we may go, the Claypool deal didn't work, or that was a hell of a pickup. Ryan Pace, the previous GM, had 4 top 10 picks, and none of them made a second contract. That's a massive fail. For every Darnell Mooney, Jordan Howard.
Mm-hmm. The running back.
Khalil Herbert, David Montgomery, Cody Whitehair, who got to another contract. Like, for every one of those, he's got a top 10 miss.
Yeah.
That's why he works in Atlanta now.
Yeah.
So, again, he swung for the fences on Claypool. He sees him 6'4", 6'5", runs well, strong, well-educated from a great program at Notre Dame. It better work. If it doesn't, that's one of the ones in the 41% that didn't work.
Sidebar, may I approach?
Yeah, brought to you by Ankin Law. 312-6 million for the great Howard Ankin. Put that lawyer in your phone.
Sign my ball. Hey, it's Howard Ankin Law. Anthony Rendon, we was going to get to this story yesterday, but we slide it in now. Mm-hmm. The Angels' third baseman, Anthony Rendon, says that he's dropping his appeal after his suspension was reduced to 4 games by Major League Baseball for his altercation with a fan last week. Now, I saw this on Instagram. That was the first time I saw this, where there is Rendon there in the team leaving, and Rendon pointed out this fan is like, hey, would you call me? And grabs the fan by the nape of the neck.
Correct.
Grabs him by his uniform. I think it was A's.
I think it was.
Uniform. Mm-hmm. Grabs him. He goes, what did you call me? Nothing. What did you say? Yeah, I heard what you said. And then lets him go.
MFB.
Yeah. Yeah. So now it's a 4-game suspension. I wonder what that would be in the NBA. We've already been through the Malice in the Palace, fighting with fans there.
Right.
That was a black day, a dark day for the NBA, for sure.
November 19th, my birthday. I never forget. I was at home. My wife's making me dinner, and that's on. I'm like, what in the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Pretty horrible. But 4-game suspension, what's that worth?
And it was 5. He was able to... He made a phone call to the fan and apologized and said it could never happen again, and he was, you know, wrong. So they knocked 1 game off. It's still going to cost him over $900,000.
What's that worth to him? I mean, I heard the number there. Yeah, almost $1 million for that incident.
Mm-hmm.
What's that really worth to him? I mean, he's going after a fan. And listen, there's a lot of fans that say a lot. I don't trash talk as a fan. I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I remember just wearing out Marquise Grissom once upon a time. I'm sitting in center field bleachers at Guaranteed Rate and just going after him. He finally turned around. And he just shook his head. He didn't give me, like, the one bird salute. He didn't give me the... But I just remember just trying to get into his head, and that's just not going to happen. But never to the point where a player wants to swing on me. Never had that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But to this fan, it happened. So what's that worth? Do you feel like that Rendon should have gone after that fan?
No. Under no circumstance. And I think he's lucky he got off of 4 games. Lucky.
In this era, and you see this in the NBA all the time, especially with Westbrook, with the teams that he's been on, he just points out the fans. Just points them out and says, you know what, get this guy out of here. He's verbally abusive.
Correct.
Now, I wonder, like, based on what Rendon said, clearly this fan crossed the line.
It did. If he got the right fan, the fan's denying he ever said it.
Yeah.
You cannot react to those fans.
Is that suspension light?
Yes.
I think it is too.
Like, if you had said, we're going to give you a 20-game suspension. What?
Now.
And I'm making it clear as the commissioner or whoever it is giving the Joe Torre, you touch a fan, you will be suspended going forward more than 20 games. This is the only warning you're all getting.
Mm-hmm.
Period. You cannot do that.
I was surprised at how light it was.
Guy signed for $264 million.
Mm-hmm.
Some fan wants to call you a blankety blank.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You just point him out and then have him ejected.
Get him out of here.
Yeah, that's when you get even.
Yeah.
Because you can't beat the guy up. Well, you could.
Or, whatever, dude, I got $264 million. Take that and keep going.
Right, exactly. I just saw that story, Cap, the other day, and I was just like, and it's right there on video. It could have easily been a setup, too. Like, keep getting on that guy. I'll film. We'll get some money out of this. Now, do you think the fan can sue? That's the question. Can the fan sue?
No. There's no injury.
Okay. So I grab you, so I'm not going to get sued? If I grab you and get angry?
Well, you can sue for anything, but doesn't mean you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how were you aggrieved?
Something that you said to me, and I had enough, and I just started to put you against the wall. You're not going to sue me for that?
No, if I was injured, yeah. But other than that, no.
What about through the window?
If you push me through the window?
Yeah, that's likely because that door locks, right? If I just push you through the window, you wouldn't sue me, would you?
If I got a cut, yeah, I would. 100%.
We do the show the next day?
Yeah, I let things... I tune out the matote after that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right.
No.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Still to come, we hear from not only Caitlin Clark, but also Angel Reese had something to say about the incident that happened over the weekend with the two ladies playing college basketball. We will hear from Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and take more of your phone calls right here on Cap and J-Hood.
Here's today's headlines with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. Patrick Wisdom led the way for the Cubs yesterday with three hits to help fuel a six-run seventh inning in a win over the Reds 12-5. The Cubs will take on the Reds today at 11:35 as Marcus Stroman will be on the mound for the Chicago Cubs. How about the White Sox? The Sox are back in action today after their loss against the Giants on the south side for the home opener. Dylan Cease will take the bump for the White Sox against Logan Webb of the Giants. First pitch is at 1:10, 12:30 pregame right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Bulls had a chance to pick up a game on Atlanta in the play-in tournament last night, but lost despite Trey Young not playing. 123-105 was the final. Atlanta over the Bulls. With three games remaining, they are virtually locked into a bottom two seed in the play-in tournament and is going to need two victories to make the playoffs. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Let's turn now to Eric Ostrowski with breaking news on the Chicago White Sox. Eric?
Prior to today's game versus the Giants, the White Sox have placed outfielder slash DH Eloy Jimenez on the 10-day injured list retroactive to April 4th with a low-grade left hamstring strain. They recall Jake Berger from AAA.
What day is it?
April 5th.
Unbelievable. Take him out of the outfield, put him at the DH spot, and still with a hamstring strain. Oh, my God. Okay, it's not the end of the world, Cap. It gets a 10-day IL stint for Eloy. If the Sox are going to make any noise, the Sox have to stay healthy. That's the number one thing we talked about for opening day. If the Sox are going to do anything, they need to stay healthy. Again, availability is the best ability for this team. Rick Hahn has decided we just make a few tweaks here and there, but ultimately, they are siding on health for them to get over the hump, something they did not have last year.
It's just amazing to me. Moncada, again, he's healthy. God bless him. Stay healthy. Whatever it is. Now, Eloy. I mean, it's always something.
That's what holds the ball club back from getting to where they need to be. It's one thing you could blame Tony for the previous 2 years, Grafal's the manager now, Renteria before. Listen. If you are not available, it's hard for you to get cohesion on the team. As simple as that. Again, it's a 10-day stint, hamstring strain. It's not the end of the world, Eric, but I'm just saying that you just don't want to hear that because if you're a Sox fan, you've heard that way too often.
So it says 10-day. The press release continues on saying that he is estimated to miss 2 to 3 weeks after suffering the injury and, of course, running the bases in the seventh inning.
We're going back to the old Tony days of not respecting 90 because you want to get away from injury. Well, we can't go full throttle because we can't get injured. Remember that?
Yep.
We're going to go back to that from last year?
Everybody was outraged by it.
Okay. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number.
Oh, there goes my ticket on him winning the home run title. Thanks a lot, Eloy.
What happens when you have a horse that can't run anymore? Let's go back to the phone lines.
Glue fact.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Rick in Portage on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
What's up, Rick? How you doing, Cookie?
Well, I think all you guys in Chicago... I'm from Pittsburgh. I've been living in Indiana for about 40 years now, but I'm still a Steelers fan. But you guys got it wrong on Claypool. I mean, if you look at his stats, his rookie year, he had 62 receptions, 900 yards, 14 touchdowns. His second year, he got hurt. He was out about four games, still had 800 yards, had about five touchdowns, I think, receiving and one rushing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a pretty good receiver.
Rick, did you hear
that? I don't think Tomlin gave up on him because they picked up Pickens, and so they had too many receivers, and he could afford to let one go.
Hold on a minute. Everybody needs more than a couple good receivers. If he was good, Mike Tomlin's not getting rid of him. That guy couldn't crack the top three there.
If he could get a second-round pick, he would.
Well, that's our point. Why are we the ones giving up the 32nd pick?
Well, I understand, but what I'm saying is Claypool's still a pretty good receiver. Right now, he's the second-best receiver on the Bears.
Not by productivity, he's not. He's the third best. DJ Moore's clearly number one.
Absolutely.
Darnell Mooney's had more productivity than Chase Claypool in his career.
Well, I don't think so.
Okay.
Mooney's only had 1 year. He didn't play last year.
He played last year. He got hurt late in the year, but he played.
All right, Rick.
Come on, man.
Okay.
What are you doing here?
So it's not that we got it wrong. You're pro Claypool. That's fine. It's not that we got it wrong. We're just saying that.
And we're not anti.
No. I don't know who he's talking to. But I think what we're saying is that we're hoping that the Claypool choice is greater than the draft pick that the Bears relinquished. Correct? You're hoping that Claypool is much more productive than the draft pick that they relinquished in the deal.
That is correct.
That's all.
In terms of Darnell Mooney, he had 40 catches last year before he got hurt on a really bad team. Really bad. Now, to the caller's credit, in terms of what did he say Claypool had as a rookie? How many touchdowns?
How many touchdowns, Rick?
9 or 14, right around in there.
That's a big disparity.
All right.
Darnell Mooney had, in his career with the Bears, 4, 4, and 2 last year. And then was injured. He had 40 catches. 61 as a rookie, 81 next year, and then 40 last year before he got hurt.
Claypool had 9 his rookie year, 2 his second season, and 1 last season.
So they're about the same guy, except one's taller and one's smaller and faster.
Right. You take Claypool, wouldn't you, Eddie?
You know what? You can say the exact same thing about DJ Moore. I mean, do you think Carolina's going to draft a stud quarterback in their first-round draft pick, and he's not going to have receivers to throw into? I think Carolina, it's going to be interesting what they do, because I'm hearing that they're going to trade the number one draft pick now and try to get a 3 and a 5. Mm-hmm. And, you know, why would they get rid of a receiver when, if you're getting your franchise quarterback, don't you want him to throw to a good receiver?
It was the price of doing business, Eddie. That. You're not going from 9 to 1 just through draft capital. Ryan Poles made that clear to them.
I know, but so I hear that Carolina wants to do the same thing. So if they're not going to take Stroud or the other guy, they're thinking about Kentucky or the Florida guy, correct? If they want to go to 3 and get more capital.
Richardson or Levis, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, and get a number 5. Well, then they're better off than what the Bears got.
Well, how are they getting a 3 and a 5? The same team doesn't own them.
Exactly right.
Arizona has 3, and Seattle's at 5, right?
Yes. Eddie, we appreciate the telephone call.
Come on, Ed Day.
Caitlin Clark spoke. Did you hear what she had to say?
That young lady. First of all, congratulations to Caitlin Clark of the University of Iowa Hawkeyes Lady Basketball Team. She won the Wooden Award. And then when they had her on SportsCenter with Jeremy Schapp, she continues to say all the right things. She is awesome.
I don't think Angel should be criticized at all. You know, no matter which way it goes, you know, she should never be criticized for what she did. You know, I'm just one that competes, and she competed. So I think everybody knew there was going to be a little trash talk in the entire tournament. It's not just me and Angel. So, you know, I don't think she should be criticized, like I said. LSU deserves it. They played so well. And like I said, I'm a big fan of hers.
So, I mean, Caitlin Clark is putting it out there for those that want to have a 5-alarm fire about this and think that Angel Reese violated Caitlin Clark in some way, shape, or form, because that's how it's framed, by the way, that pretty much that Angel Reese chased down Caitlin Clark, chased her down and snatched her purse and tackled. That's not what happened. That's not what happened.
Correct.
What it is that Angel Reese wanted to make sure that Caitlin Clark says, just like you did earlier, you can't see me. Just like you did in your tournament and saying someone's too small or, you know, you're, hey, we're up 15. Look at the scoreboard. F off. Whatever she was saying. They're both competitive, and that's okay. Ring, the whole thing. It's okay. I have no problem with that. And that brings people to the game. Again, your sensibilities as a sports fan does not matter when it comes to these two young ladies. Young, defiant, aggressive. I'm sure you don't see that in the ladies' game very often, but that's exactly what it is. And it's bringing more eyeballs to the forefront.
It was wildly entertaining, and I think all of this controversy and fun. Caitlin Clark, a 40-point triple-double. It's never happened in men's or women's tournament play ever. I think this is great for the sport.
Absolutely.
When was the last time we spent multiple days, other than when the Sky won the title with Candace Parker? Leave that to the side.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time we spent talking about women's basketball?
Never.
Never. That is a really good thing for the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved she said the right things yesterday. Hey, we didn't win. We don't get to go to the White House. And then the coach came out and said, but we're inviting the president, the first lady, to Carver Hawkeye Arena.
Sure.
Thought that was a great response.
Absolutely.
I think every box has been checked. It's been awesome.
Yeah, so I'm just pointing out for the pearl clutchers that are listening that are concerned about the welfare of Caitlin Clark, that woman, that Angel Reese, was going after her and made her feel uncomfortable. You were made to feel uncomfortable. Don't put your sensibilities on these two young ladies.
Correct.
They both are competitors. They both are arrogant. They both are competitors.
And that's why they're good.
That's why people are watching. That's why the numbers are up.
Yep.
And by the way, just one other side note with this. This is a good thing for women's basketball because unlike men's basketball, I expect for these ladies to stay at their programs 3 years, 4 years. That's usually the case. No one's leaving after their freshman year or sophomore year. You expect to see these ladies back in place more times than not on the women's game. Men's game?
Correct.
A lot of portal, a lot of movement. A
lot of movement.
That's the difference. So yeah. I look forward to seeing them running back next year.
Agreed.
Because they've got some momentum here. Tracy Butler joins us next to give us a forecast on today's White Sox game against San Francisco. We'll hear from her. Also, the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day. All part of the mix on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap and J-Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Now time for the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, David Flom and Matt Moore's Dining Gem. It is on LaSalle and the north side of the river. You've got to go there and try their burger. Jay Moore.
All right, Jay.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Yes. What about free hot dogs for life? Go to Fenway Park, you'll never pay for a Fenway Frank again.
Right, and then you'd put ketchup on it.
I would not. I don't know where you got the idea that I put ketchup on hot dogs.
I thought you were a ketchup guy.
No, I'm a plain hot dog guy.
What does that mean?
I put nothing on it.
Plain, meaning nothing.
That's worse.
No chance.
Is it?
A plain hot dog. God, I couldn't eat a dry hot dog like that.
No. Got to have something on it.
Right. Relish. I don't believe in ketchup on a hot dog. Mm-hmm. My kids don't believe in it. They were raised that way.
Mm-hmm.
A little mustard, a little of the nuclear glow-in-the-dark relish,
mm-hmm.
pickle spear, some onions, a little celery salt, and tomatoes. Let's go, Chicago dog.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm surprised at the plain hot dog. So you get it. You just buy it and then nothing. You just go walk right back to your seat.
Yeah.
You don't stop by with something, a little relish or something, maybe mustard, something.
Yeah, nothing.
Plain hot dog, pal. It's the best. That's how I eat it.
What?
What is that now?
That was Jay Moore.
Is that a mug sliding across the table there?
No, that is sound effects from you yesterday between here and the bathroom.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
Wow.
When you gotta go, you gotta go. I don't know what to tell you.
I understand that, but I mean,
that's what happens when you eat a plain hot dog.
Yeah. Not good.
And that's all, folks.
The Cap'n Jay Hook Cut of the Day, proudly brought to you by
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Try the seafood tower for your table. It's amazing.
We turn now to the newsroom. ABC 7 Eyewitness News. Tracy Butler's with us. And Tracy, ooh, a little wet. A little wet this morning.
You could say a lot.
Yes, absolutely. Drenched.
Drenched. I like that. Everybody in the pool.
First of all, you know how you hooked up the coach at UIC, Coach McDermott, with his ability to call Tracy, and she's just awesome to him?
Sure.
Tracy and I are very good friends. She took care of me yesterday because I was going hiking, had my boots out, ready to go. I get a text. Rethink the plan. It's going to pour earlier than expected. I looked it up for you. I did not go, and I couldn't believe how hard it rained. You're the greatest.
My pleasure. It's what I do.
I love you. You're the best.
I didn't want you to get hit with hailstones either.
Wow.
We had huge hail in the area yesterday. I love the sound effects, by the way, Jay Moore. But
what sound effects? It's raining in the studio. Don't you see that?
Oh, is that what the leak from the roof is?
Yes.
We had that huge hail yesterday. Of course, this morning we had a line of really powerful storms that came through the area. And I know a lot of White Sox fans are saying, what about the game today?
Yeah. So what happens? I mean, 1:10 start. Can the Sox get it in today?
Yes.
How?
They will get it in. So what's going on? The front is moving through. Now, it is going to be windy out of the southwest, blowing from the southwest to the north and east. Could get some 40-mile-per-hour wind gusts during the game. We have a wind advisory in effect. Also, when you go to the game today, the temperatures are likely to still be well into the 60s. When the game is over, we could have temperatures closer to the upper 50s. We're going to get a drop in the temperatures during the game. But as far as raindrops, I think we're done on the Illinois side. We're still watching some storm potential over in northern Indiana, however. So as the 219 goes, so may some thunderstorms over there.
Okay. You know what? If you're a Sox fan, you're going, you'll take it. There's no excuse.
Right.
You should be able to enjoy. And again, it's still warm.
It is so warm out there. People were saying it's kind of muggy, and it was. Our dew points were elevated this morning, so you did feel a little bit of that humidity in the air this morning. But that's going to go away. And after this, we get a front going through, and we are set up for a lot of calm days and a beautiful weekend.
See? How about that?
How about that?
So a great winter. From Chicago standards, great winter, and now she's setting up a great spring.
She's outstanding.
Outstanding.
Well, I don't know about that.
What do you mean?
A few days.
Well, I mean,
who knows what's coming next week?
I'll fire on you again, I'm sure.
You will.
It's been perfect for me. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Great winter. Very few times using the shovel.
True.
So, if at all. So pretty good.
And I want to thank you. I have this cool app now because of you. And I can watch all of my forecast right there on my phone.
Or you just get a text from me.
That's correct.
Of course. Because nothing like access for Kaplan.
She's the best.
Hey, so, you too. You know that.
Oh, well, I'm just a friend. I just watch. I don't have to call. I just watch the broadcast.
Well, thank you.
I'm here to support.
Someone does.
What's best for a hot dog? Plain? Or what do you like on your hot dog?
Nothing.
Plain hot dog.
I don't like condiments.
How about that?
Are you human?
Oh, my God.
So if I took you to, like...
to be in your office.
Michael's in Highland Park or Superdog, you're not going to get, the little mustard and the little relic.
Oh, no. I don't want to cover up the good stuff.
Wow.
Wow. To be in your office after a hot dog. We thank you for listening and calling and twitching and being part of the program.
We love you.
Here on ESPN 1000, our thanks to Eric, thanks to Shay, thanks to Jay Moore. Hey, Cap, how about we do this tomorrow at 7?
Rock and roll, baby. Let's do it.
So for David Kaplan, I'm Jonathan Hood. Thanks so much for listening to Cap and Jay Hood. And so long, everybody.
Bulls are into play-in. Hallelujah. Take that.
From Chicago.